Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the nation's leaders from coast to coast.
It is Monday, and you know what that means. It is time for another episode of Monday Madness. This is the show where we prove that American politics has never been boring.
Forget the dry textbooks. We are talking about the duels, the deals, and the disasters that you probably never learned about in school. I am Stephen.
And I am Leah. Let us get into the madness.
Leah, today we are looking at one of the most effective dirty tricks in American political history. It happened during the presidential election of 1888. It is called the Murchison Letter, and it completely flipped the outcome of the race.
That is right, Stephen. This is a fantastic story of political sabotage. The election was a tight race between the incumbent Democrat, President Grover Cleveland, and the Republican challenger, Benjamin Harrison. The key political issue of the day was the tariff, or tax, on imported goods.
That sounds a bit dry to swing an election. What was the human element here? The madness.
The human element was a powerful and very passionate voting bloc, the Irish American community. They were a crucial part of the Democratic base, especially in the all-important state of New York. And there was one thing that united them, a deep and powerful distrust of Great Britain.
So they were strongly anti-British. How did Republicans figure out how to use that against Cleveland?
A Republican activist in California named George Osgoodbye came up with a brilliant plan. He decided to write a fake letter, pretending to be a naturalized English American named Charles F. Murchison. He sent this letter to the British ambassador in Washington, a man named Lord Sackville.
He wrote a letter to the British ambassador. What did he say in it?
The letter was a clever trap. Writing as Murchison, Osgoodbye said he was a former British subject who was now an American citizen. He asked the ambassador for advice, saying he was unsure who to vote for. He asked, in confidence, which candidate, Cleveland or Harrison, would be more friendly to British interests.
This sounds like a trap. I wonder if the ambassador was smart enough to see it.
He was not. Amazingly, Lord Sackville wrote back. His response was diplomatic, but it was all the Republicans needed. He said that the administration of President Cleveland had been generally friendly toward Great Britain. He implied that the Democrats were the better choice for someone with British interests at heart.
So the Republicans had their dynamite. What did they do with the letter?
They held on to it. They waited until just 2 weeks before the election, when it would do the most damage. Then, they published it in newspapers across the country under massive headlines. The public reaction, especially from Irish Americans, was explosive. They saw it as proof that President Cleveland was secretly pro-British.
This must have been a complete disaster for the Cleveland campaign. How did they respond?
They panicked, and they made it worse. The team for Cleveland tried to do damage control, but the British letter was too perfect a scandal. In a desperate move, President Cleveland officially protested to the British government and had Lord Sackville sent home. But this just made him look weak and confirmed to many that the letter was authentic and that he had been caught.
So what was the final outcome in the election?
Grover Cleveland, who had won the national popular vote, ended up losing the election. He lost the critical swing state of New York by a very thin margin, and that loss cost him the Electoral College. The Murchison letter is widely credited with swinging just enough of the Irish American vote away from him to cost him the presidency. It was a perfect and perfectly mad political trick.
And that is our special for today. Thank you for listening to the Nation's Leaders from Coast to Coast podcast. You can find show notes for this dive into history and links to our sources on our website, pointedwords.com. Please note AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.